Bible is to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. I think first time in 30-some years I've ever brought a study guide to the pulpit. I was sharing with my sister recently about this study guide that I've been using. She said she'd like to get it when I'm done. I said, well, you can order your own. You can talk like that to sister. I want this one. She's going to get her own. But I told her how to get it. She can go online and get her own. But it's just really been a blessing to me. I've never had any studies on these type of topics that I can remember of. Maybe a few sermons that were similar, but never quite as concise as these messages have been. Today we're looking at slaying the giant of procrastination. Knowing when to act. We all know more than we do. Sometimes we have certainly good reasons for our inaction. But often it's just simply because of laziness. Or maybe it's human nature to put things off. Thinking about that, I want you to just take a moment to think about something you put off that should be done. Something that you should have done already, but you kept putting it off. Think for a moment what that is. The cost of procrastination is what we would have gained had we taken the opportunity. An overview, that's the introduction. Years ago, a very famous preacher surveyed the Bible to discover the most important words in Scripture. For instance, he wanted to find the saddest word in the Bible, the happiest word, the most emotional word, and along with a long list of additional words which were the superlatives in their category, when he came to the most dangerous word in the Bible, you might be surprised to know what he chose. What do you think it is? Some of you know you've got to be quiet. What do you think the word is? Just say it for me. Tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow is the most dangerous word because of its ability to rob. It has robbed students of their educational opportunities, fathers of their relationships with their children. And more than anything else, it has kept more people from coming to Christ and finding salvation than any other word in the dictionary. Satan's favorite word is tomorrow. If he can get someone to keep putting off thinking about his or her salvation until tomorrow, he has them right where he wants them. He uses tomorrow, like the owner of a gas station who put a sign up that said, "Free gas tomorrow." Every time you look at the sign, it puts you off one more day. You see, today is a word that's dear to the heart of God, as in today is the day of salvation. Procrastination robs you of opportunities of service. Jesus was talking to some of his followers once about the cost of discipleship. The essence of his words to them was that life has a way of putting obstacles in the path of the one who would seek first the kingdom of God. These things, such as taking care of family, requirements, or vocation, are certainly legitimate responsibilities. Was Jesus saying that we should ignore those things in order to follow him? Of course not. He was simply illustrating it's always easy to think of lots of reasons why we can't respond to the call of God in our life. Matthew 26 relates one of the saddest stories in the New Testament of missed opportunities that could never be retrieved. Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal. He took Peter, James, and John into the garden with him. Three times Jesus went aside to pray, and three times discovered that his three friends had fallen asleep. They certainly hadn't known the historical significance of what was happening at this moment. But we can be sure, later they would have given anything to replace or replay the events of that night. They would have wanted to stay awake and watch and pray for their Lord in his hour of agony. But they let one of those most critical nights in history pass them by. How often does that happen in your life? I can think of an occasion when a mother and her son was at the hospital. She said, "It's okay." She said, "You don't need to stay. It's okay. Everything will be all right." Well, that night he passed away. And I wish I could have went back and relived that moment. And I would have stayed all night. Moments that pass us by. One day in heaven, each one of us will no doubt look back and realize critical moments and hours of decision which we let slip through our fingers because of procrastination. If you're like me, there's times when I sense the Lord's leading to reach out to a certain person, and then I get busy and fail to follow up on it, only to discover later that there was something difficult going on in that person's life. I put off the Lord's leading. I missed the opportunity to reach out and minister to that person. And it's an awful feeling to live with. I have a feeling that after you hear this message today on procrastination, the Lord will bring a person to your mind. Maybe more than one. Whom you've been meaning to call or maybe reach out to. To respond to him or her as soon as he speaks to your heart. You need to be obedient. Don't let anything stand in the way of following his leading in these matters of spiritual urgency. Whether in your life or the life of someone else, life is too precious and the consequences are too eternal to do anything less than obey when we have the chance. Procrastination robs you of the opportunity to be successful. No one who's practicing the procrastinator succeeds at anything. Procrastination robs you of the opportunity to succeed. Charles Swindoll, you all heard of him. He describes the effect of procrastination as if procrastination was a human. And so he personifies procrastination in a very effective way. Procrastination comes out a winner every time. He can out-talk any student when it comes to homework. He can out-think any executive when it comes to correspondence. He can out-work any homemaker when it comes to vacuuming or doing dishes. He can outlast any parent when it comes to discipline. He can outsmart any salesman when it comes to selling. He has one basic product, and he centers all his energy toward that single goal, defeat. By the sheer genius of suggestion, he becomes the automaton of what he destroys, success. And you see, if we cannot take action when it's thrust upon us, we're doomed to defeat and failure. I think about years ago when there was more rabbits, and now it's squirrels. But anyway, a rabbit or squirrel on the road, when they can't decide which side they want to go to know what happens when they can't decide, they become part of the pavement. They become part of the road. You see, indecision, they can't decide. And so that decision is made for them, because they can't decide. Now, every time I do this, I want you to say tomorrow. Got it? He was going to be all that a mortal should be. No one should be kinder or braver than he. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad of a lift and who needed it too. On him he would call and see what he could do. Each morning he stacked up the letters that he wanted to write. And the thought of the folks he would fill with delight. It was too bad indeed he was busy today and hadn't a minute to stop on his way. More time he would have to give others, he'd say. The greatest of workers this man would have been. The world would have known him had he ever seen. But the fact is he died and faded from you, and all that was left when his living was through was a mountain of things that he intended to do. Any businessman or salesman will tell you the art of succeeding is knowing what to do and when to do it and doing it at that moment. Thomas Huxley was not a spiritual man, but he had it right when it came to understanding procrastination. The most important result of all education is to make you do the thing you have to do when it ought to be done, whether you like it or not. It's the first lesson that ought to be learned, and however early a man's training begins, it's probably the last lesson that he learns thoroughly. And what is that lesson? To do the thing you have to do when it has to be done. Most of us keep some sort of a to-do list where we write down the tasks and goals we have for the day or the week. But how many of us purposely take the hardest and most distasteful task and move it directly to the top of our list? Rather than pushing it to the bottom of the list, we who are willing to do the hardest job when it needs to be done is really on the road to success. Think about that. The hardest task that you put off, move it to the top of your list. Move it to the top. These are practical reasons we have for defeating procrastination. Very important from day to day. There is another reason for conquering procrastination, and this is far more important. Procrastination can keep you out of heaven. Procrastination robs you of the opportunity of salvation. It brings me now to our text in Acts 24. It can keep you from becoming a Christian. It's what happened with these two people that we met in Acts 24, Felix and Drusilla. His real name was Antonius Felix. He was Greek by birth. He gained his appointment as Roman procurator of Judea from his brother. Drusilla, Felix's wife. She was one of three daughters of Herod Agrippa I. Felix induced her to leave her husband and marry him. Her father, Herod Agrippa I, was the one who murdered James, brother of John, and tried to murder Peter as well, Acts chapter 12. Her great uncle, Herod Antipas, was the one who executed who? John the Baptist. Her great grandfather was Herod the Great. He was the one who ordered the murder of all the baby boys in Bethlehem in an attempt to eliminate Jesus. This was Drusilla's family heritage, spiritually dark to say the least. And the Apostle Paul was brought before Felix with charges of sedition. When Paul spoke, it was not to defend himself, but to proclaim the gospel of Christ. No matter where Paul went, he always had one mission, to declare the gospel. And when Paul began to speak, it was almost as if Felix had been brought before Paul instead of Paul having been brought before Felix. The instruction of the procrastinator. Paul spoke to Felix and Drusilla about his faith in Christ and about three further points: righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Quite a message that was well suited for Paul's audience, because Felix and Drusilla were definitely in need in all three of these areas. Their marriage was immoral. Their backgrounds were filled with spiritual darkness. They no doubt felt quite uncomfortable with the Apostle Paul's words. So Paul moved on to self-control, another foreign word to them. They were used to doing whatever they wanted, unencumbered by morals or restraints of any kind. And so he concluded with the natural outcome of unrighteousness and a lack of self-control. And of course, which would follow? Judgment. Paul went on to tell them there's a judge sitting on a throne much larger than the throne of the proclamator of Judea. Even the throne of the emperor himself in Rome. And someday, Paul said, they would stand before that judge. And he would call them to account for their sins. Must have been quite a sermon. One that Felix and Drusilla never imagined they would hear when they woke up that morning. And so we have the impact on the procrastinator. Felix's response to Paul's sermon was something that we don't see much in contemporary preaching. Fear. Felix was afraid. As a result of what he heard from Paul, he was terrified, in the words of the Old American Standard Version. God had spoken mightily through Paul to Felix's heart. He was overtaken by fear at the prospect of future judgment in light of his past and his present life. But then at the very time when he could have had all his fears relieved, Felix said that most dangerous words in a matter of speaking tomorrow. In King James Version, it's a more convenient time. Then we have the intention of the procrastinator. Felix sent Paul away. He said he would call for him again at a more convenient time, verse 25. And so Felix procrastinated. He put off life's most important and sometimes most difficult task, getting right with God, who created and who will judge us all. We don't know if Felix ever believed the gospel of Christ or not. Given his initial response, we would say the likelihood was not good. Even if he did later, we do know that he passed up that first chance that God gave him to be saved. He put it off until a convenient time, that which he should have grasped immediately. You see, there's never a convenient time to be saved. The time to be saved is when God shows you your need. Who knows whether you will ever sense that need again? And we'll close with these two things. Procrastination is dangerous in any area, but nowhere is it more dangerous in the realm of salvation. Procrastination does not take into account the uncertainty of life. None of you can guarantee that you'll see me next week, next Sunday. We don't have that guarantee. Not any of you. First of all, procrastination gives us the impression that we are in control of tomorrow. It doesn't take into account the uncertainty of life. If we knew for certain that tomorrow would come, perhaps we could put off some things. But who knows what life holds past today, past this minute? No one does. Proverbs 27:1. Scripture uses 18 different metaphors to remind us of the transitory nature of life. For instance, life is like a vapor. Here one minute and gone the next. Who would try to build their future on a vapor? To assume that we can put off tomorrow that which we should do today is a prescription for remorse. Possibly eternal remorse. In his letter to the churches, James warned about the presumption of thinking that we are in control of tomorrow. Life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4:4. Are you putting off until tomorrow a decision about your own salvation? A decision to begin walking as a committed disciple of Christ, laying aside the things of this world and living only for Him? Perhaps you hear the gospel presented regularly in church every Sunday, or maybe on the radio or TV. You keep telling yourself you need to respond and get things settled with God. If If you're putting this off, you're building your future on a foundation of vapor. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. Today is a day for salvation. Let's assume you have absolute control over tomorrow, that you know exactly how many days you have left to live. There's still a problem. You don't know whether conviction will ever touch your heart again. You see, that's when the Holy Spirit works, brings conviction. And you got to act when you have the conviction. When the Holy Spirit moves upon you, that's when you have to act. You don't know when that'll happen again, if ever. Procrastination does not take into account the uniqueness of conviction. That's my last point. I refer to the special times when God deals with each of us. Every Christian can think back to the time he was saved. Recognize the uniqueness of the situation. Something happened that day that had not happened the day before. The moment of your salvation was a unique event. And God brought together all the factors and influences necessary in order for you to recognize your need for Him. You may get a tomorrow, but there's no guarantee that when tomorrow comes, you'll be convicted of your need for Christ. You see, just as it happened with Felix, he came under sincere conviction the day that Paul preached to him. It happens to each of us. The danger is that we, like Felix, will ignore that conviction and put it off until a more convenient time. The problem is that the convenient time may never come. You may never be convicted again of your need for salvation. And so the prophet Isaiah said it best, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Isaiah 55:6. If you know the Lord can be found today, then today is the day you need to call upon Him while He is near. Procrastination is a giant that will rob you of opportunities, of service, and the opportunity to be successful. But most of all, will rob you of the opportunity to be saved. Don't put off doing anything you know needs to be done today. You have no guarantee about tomorrow, no promise what the problems you feel today will ever happen again. So whatever you do, don't procrastinate about being saved. Today may be the only chance you have. Every head bowed. Father in heaven, thank you for this message today. It spoke to my heart about some things that I don't need to procrastinate any longer. Need to move it to the top of my list and take care of it. If you're listening to this message by way of internet, maybe you've put off accepting Christ as your Savior. Don't put it off any longer. Take care of it right now by praying this prayer. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I invite you to live in my heart. I want to live for you from this day forward. I hope you were able to pray that prayer today. Don't put it off any longer. Not for a more convenient time, but today is a convenient time. And so, Lord, we thank you again for all that you do and for what you will accomplish. It's time to go home. Give us each traveling mercies to our home. Until we return again, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.